A new report suggests we are at risk of slipping down the global trade ladder in the midst of COVID-19 and the trade war with China unless we start to make some changes. UniSA Professor of International Business Susan Freeman, the principal author of the 2021 Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry National Trade Survey Report, joins me now to discuss. Hi, Susan.
Hello, how are you?
Really well, thank you. So you've been looking at all the different ways that trade has been impacted over the past year or so. How has COVID-19 impacted trade for our island nation?
Well, I think particularly because we're an island and we are so dependent on inbound and outbound goods, we really were hit very quickly. And I think that one thing we have recognised with COVID is that it's indiscriminate when it comes to which industries it may or may not impact. We have very little control over that. And we are, and I'm sure our listeners are very aware, that particularly in areas such as tourism and education, our healthcare, there's been huge interruptions to supply chains that are now playing out even more pronounced. Because once you close those borders, we can't fill skill shortages. And we're also seeing brain drain or people coming back, expats coming back from overseas appointments. And they're finding it very hard to settle back in, to try and find jobs as well. And if they can't find those really pivotal positions for them when they return, they start looking for the online jobs that are high-skilled overseas. So it's a really mixed bag in how it impacts. And I know for our listeners, particularly in the agricultural sectors, there's been a very patched response as well, because many of these are picked up, or these industries are picked up with many of the geopolitical tensions, particularly with our major trading partner, China. And that's been something that's been very difficult to manage, because many of the senior managers I've spoken to over the duration of this report have got excellent long-standing relationships with their key supplier or key suppliers or buyers. And when this geopolitical issue started to really ramp up with COVID, because it just simply exacerbated problems that were already starting to appear, it's been incredibly difficult for a firm to manage that. They quite simply can't. It has to be handled at a government-to-government level and with ambassadorial staff skilled behind the scenes.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But have there been any positive elements to all the things that have happened with COVID-19 lockdowns and changes in trade?
Yes. Look, I'm sorry if I give the impression that it's all negative. It's actually far from that. We have some industries that are just absolutely not able to keep up with demand. We have many firms at the moment, particularly in the SME area, that are going great guns in manufacturing. And certainly those firms that well before the pandemic hit were e-commerce focused, they're not having problems either. In fact, they can't keep up with demand. I guess the real surprise here is that firms that haven't seen the signs earlier around the need to be more interconnected and e-commerce oriented have really had it much more difficult. But those that have seen the cost-cutting effects of being more digitally organised have really been able to do well. I mean, I've been speaking to firms in Tasmania, for example, where they simply can't keep up with demand for retail. And this is a surprise, because in many states that's been a real issue, but this is online retail. And so they're manufacturing a line of goods using wool products in Tasmania, all Australian made, and they export around the world, and of course they've also been selling across Australia. They can't keep up with demand both internationally and locally. Now that's a small example, but we also have firms at the moment that particularly some of the service sector that have relied on call centres overseas. So those that were well organised and know how to manage their staff in their overseas environment well, they can't keep up with demand either. If they can't, and they haven't in the past, learned how to manage staff, particularly working remotely, making sure all their internet requirements are covered, then they've got caught. So for the firms, and most of the firms I'm talking to, SMEs, medium size and large firms, have seen that writing on the wall for a long time, that they needed to be e-commerce organised and they needed to know how to manage those issues. And the pandemic has simply made it obvious that they did it well.
Mm. We've seen how incredibly dependent we've become on skilled migrants, particularly during COVID. Has bringing, you know, starting to bring some of them back now, bringing Pacific Islanders back, been a necessary step for primary industries, Susan?
Look, again, you're spot on. It just depends on what industry we talk about. So, you know, the wine sector is very difficult. It's very different from barley, which is very different from nut picking up in the northern parts of New South Wales or into Queensland. It really depends on the industry that you're talking about. But certainly in some of the agricultural areas and fruit picking, it's a complex one because we need those skills, and particularly in some situations where our local workforce does not want to actually do those jobs, to fill those gaps. We are incredibly reliant on our Pacific Islands who have done an enormous effort there. Now, I know the government has made some effort, and I think we've had a certain percentage of our Pacific Island workers come back. But there's also the issue, as the global pandemic has unfolded, many people who are caught in this situation may not be able to be compensated or looked after in the way that locals are. And they want to be back home with family and friends during such a difficult time. So it's a complex one, isn't it?
Mm.
On the one hand, we're very reliant on our overseas workers, and they provide tremendous skills. But as this pandemic drags on, they're trying to work out where they would rather be. And if we can maintain good health, protection and safety for workers, then we will continue to be able to be an attractive location to bring in workers from the Pacific Islands and also from other overseas markets. And it's not just our agricultural areas, but many of the listeners are very dependent on health services and healthcare. And of course, that industry has been really impacted by skill base from overseas employees, to the point that we're probably looking at about a third of nurses in Australia that have foreign qualifications. And that really impacts country areas as well.
Yeah, and it's striking that right balance, because that has, the government has a lot of power in that.
They do. And the longer we have the borders closed, on the one hand, we're anxious and nervous around the health issues, but it's incredibly difficult for businesses to continue because, as many of the readers and listeners would know, Australia is particularly dependent on trade, and that was certainly coming out in the report. It's not just our international businesses that are trading both export but also importers. We've got a large number of businesses across Australia that are involved in imports, and also many of our domestic businesses require international inputs. And we've got huge congestion around our global supply chains now, which are impacting us as this drags on. And it just puts delays everywhere. So that is just, again, exacerbating the problem. And we have had increasing congestion now with supply chains across the world. And we are really starting to feel that here.
Mm.
It's just delaying the arrival and also being able to access our goods. So it's not just those that are involved in exporting and importing, but also domestic production and domestic services. We just need to have those borders open.
So it sounds as though, you know, gone are the days of relying solely internally for products and to make things happen, where it's such a globalised world now that there's just so many little facets of each country playing a role in the creation of something.
Yes, look, I think that's one thing that the report really does highlight again and again, and that is that Australia is one of those economies that really enjoys international connections. We've been very, very fortunate over many, many years now to rely on our near neighbours and faraway neighbours for lots of the things we need, not only, as I said earlier, in domestic production, but also international exports. Now, the other problem we have is that we are going to have to continue to rely on foreign direct investment. And if they are feeling that their employees will be well looked after here, then they will continue to put money into our economy. But if they feel it's complex and difficult to navigate our border closures, and that they're unpredictable, and that there are continued delays at our ports, which is what the report is also highlighting with maritime and stevedore union industrial action since February last year, it just makes us a little bit more unattractive, Jenny, in terms of competing with other economies across the world that want that money, and that helps to grow our economy. So we need to be very aware that we need to be and maintain that attractiveness to multinational enterprises so that they want to come here, and they have to be aware of how we protect and keep safe those employees. It is a big issue for companies and will be continuing to be an increasing issue.
And Susan, do you think we're able to overcome our geopolitical challenges with China?
Look, I think the best way to answer that, Jenny, is that in the long term, things can be changed. But in the short term, we need to say to ourselves, China is a fantastic relationship for us and will continue to be so. But it's not the only relationship we currently have, and not the only relationship that we can certainly increase to diversify that risk management. We have many partnerships through our free trade agreements that really are underutilised, and that's what the report says. Many firms, both small and large, but particularly our smaller firms, really don't understand those free trade agreements. And I think that's a very strong message to government and to our chambers and industry agencies. Get that word out. Connect with industries. Make sure they understand which free trade agreements are interested in their products and their services. Work much more closely with those industries, which is what the report is saying, so that firms do have those introductions. Now, it's all very well for firms to be using existing customer and supplier relationships to help them be introduced to further contacts and networks into those existing markets. Or maybe you've got a supplier in a market you haven't gone into before to provide further product offerings. This is a time to work with those relationships. But the report is also saying something else, and that is something that we need to be aware of as this COVID pandemic continues, and that is it's very difficult to build trust with people you don't know. And those opening of the borders, being able to fly again and to, with safety, be able to interact with customers, particularly in some of our advanced markets and those strategically important markets, such as our Five Eye markets, that's something that can be done. And our ambassadorial staff, I'm hearing a lot of companies saying, where are they? They should be quietly in there with DFAT, in the background, making the introductions, opening the doors so that businesses know, right, that's where I can go. This is a country that wants our goods and services, so that they're not left languishing trying to work this out themselves.
Professor Susan Freeman, thanks so much for your time today.
I'm delighted and looking forward to seeing the economy continuing to bounce back.